Blog Talk Radio.
The name is Bostic, James Bostic. Nice to be here with you. This is the American Brand Radio Initiative. And here is a man, if his life were turned into a movie, I would have to say it would be Love Finds Andy Hardy. Scott Kesterson.
You know, James, every time I tune in at night and listen to this music with you, like tonight, for example, I really felt like doing something like, you know, all the bell, you know, the big bell-bottom pants and trying to get some of those 1960s clothing out and maybe see a little bit of the James Bond mixed in with Mission Impossible or some whatever else like that. You really got a thing going here. Pretty nice.
Well, I'm glad. You know what? I really appreciate that because that's the whole vibe that I've been going with here, and that's I'm glad you're comfortable with that.
Well, and so I guess that's the cultural revolution you're wanting to kind of bring into the 21st century. Is that what we're doing here? It's kind of that kind of theme there, James.
Yeah, we're bringing back the Man from U.N.C.L.E., dude. We're fighting the fight. Okay.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
The United Network for Curtailing Liberalism Effectively.
There you go. Absolutely. So, what's been going on with you this week, James? How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you. The usual stuff, dotting I's, crossing T's. We had some terrible news, obviously, earlier, you know, on Sunday at Sutherland Springs in Texas, and that's when those kind of things happen. It's always a shock, and it doesn't matter what the motivation is on that. And I've been doing some reading, you know, where we talked about this this very real and very happening right now, war on Christians and Christianity in this country. And, you know, they downplay it. They make a bigger deal out of gay hate crime hoaxes and Islamophobic hate crime hoaxes. And for some reason, they always turn out to be hoaxes, don't they?
Yeah.
Really, if you stop and look at it, it just doesn't happen. It's something that they throw out there, these red herrings like this. It's a hate crime against gays. It's a hate crime against black people. It's this, it's that. And it never is, but it splashed all over the fake news industrial complex, the story laundering merchants out there. And then, you know, we find out after further investigation or further questioning of the victim, it turns out that, you know, the victim was also the perpetrator. Because why? Well, they wanted to have a conversation about something that was bugging them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is we live in a, well, I mean, so let's dig into this tonight. Let's talk about the war on Christianity. Let's do this.
Okay.
With double barrel.
Great.
Okay.
Because I got some stuff for you.
All right, can I set the condition here a little bit tonight about the environment?
By all means. Sure.
All right, because this is driving me out of my mind. And there's a lot to this that I think we're going to try to touch on as many of these pieces as we can tonight over this hour. But to begin with, we have to set the context. And the context is that we live in a media propaganda environment supported by political, legal, and economic activities that are incessantly driving the message that Christians are outdated, Christians are wrong, Christians are need to be discarded, Christians are a passe part of this country. And that fundamentally, the left, because they control the mechanisms or the means of communication, they've infested our legal system with political insurgent judges and lawyers. They have completely corrupted our university system, so they become terrorist incubators. And they are, and in the immediate in the entertainment realm, they've completely dominated a narrative of American hate, period. So we are in a place right now where every single message that we are surrounded with in some way or another is supporting this idea that Christians are okay to terminate. And the problem with that is this is not a conspiracy like there are many that are trying to draw conspiracies of saying, well, you know, they not necessarily the shooting, but, you know, this person, say, was manipulated or controlled, some MK Ultra garbage. It's none of that. That's what people need to get past, conspiracies. When you create an environment of propaganda like this that is constantly, constantly reinforcing a message, rule number one of good propaganda, principle rule number one, whatever you say, regardless of truth, when you say it enough times, it becomes truth. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's not affecting the Christian community. People are anchoring down in faith. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to hit that a little bit because I want to come back to a big part of that. But what we're getting is we are getting this other side that any time now that they get angry, they just decide that, well, the most convenient target is going to be a church or it's going to be, we're going to go after the Christian community, because apparently the messages they hear are saying to them, it's okay. And then when you hear these idiots talking on TV, our brainless pundits out here, you will listen that there is never accountability and there's never discussion of culpability except for one thing, which is the Second Amendment, which is pure garbage. And the accountability, like this individual here, the accountability on this, now it's being excused off that he is a mental patient. I don't give a darn whether he is a mental patient or whether he is a professor at a university. That man killed 27 people at a church and wounded 30. At the end of the day, he got the justice he deserved, which came from a fellow member of the community, thank goodness. And
no question. He knew what he was doing.
You bet he did. And the other part that I've been talking about on my shows, and I think you probably heard this, but it's the point that when we are in an environment where values, faith, and knowledge, and those are my three pillars, but we'll just talk about values for the moment, and our faith And I'm going to, faith has become really pacifying, and it's driving me nuts. And we're going to, and the values thing, when people are out here going, yeah, well, I saw him, he was a creep. Okay, okay, let's put this in context. He's spewing hateful Christian garbage on his Facebook page. He's preaching aggressive atheism, hostile atheism, and he's a creep. No, he's a threat to the principles of what this country was built upon, period. Because our country was not built on the idea that we could all be a multi-pluralistic whatever faith. You're welcome to have freedom of religion. That's a given. But the principles in which this country was built upon were two pillars: the fear of God and the government ruling class's fear of the people. And the fear of God component of that was anchored in the Bible, period. End of story. No more discussion. That's it. So all this other new age garbage, communist craziness, multi whatever, you know, spirituality stuff, great habit, you're good to go. But at the end of the day, we run on a Christian rule of law, period. And that's how we are. So this whole thing, now the other point I want to make, and then I'm going to throw it to you, is that part of this problem is also being perpetuated within the Christian community. And I'm saying this because this incessant propaganda war has also targeted something else, which is to make people feel guilty within their faith that taking action is a wrong thing to do. And it's like, no, I'm sorry, but turning the other cheek has its limits. As our preacher's wife says, I'm a Christian, I have temperance, but I'm not a doormat, period. And we're not doormats. The thing is that this is a time, like I spoke of today, that we need temperance, because that's the engagement, the reaching out of communities, the anchoring in our faith, our knowledge, and our values. But it's also vigilance. And vigilance does not mean like becoming a hero. Heroes are dead. We don't need those. Vigilance is being proactive, being alert, being willing to engage aggressively as need be, hopefully with the minimalist amount of violence. But I don't see, if anything, when we are out here and people are saying, God, why are they doing this to us? Why don't we turn that question around? It's like, God, what do we need to be doing differently? But I'm pushing it to you, James.
Well, you know, there's no question about this. And when we started, I mean, and now, like I said, you and I are talking about it. And a lot of people like us are talking about it. But Rachel Maddow's not talking about it. Sean Hannity's not talking about it. Chris Matthews, Don Lemon, you know, any of these establishment types, and that includes Fox. They're not talking about it, but this is real. It's not a conspiracy. I went and we talked. I looked at some stuff, and I came up with, this is the June 2017 edition of a study that was done by the Family Research Council. It's called Hostility to Religion: The Growing Threat to Religious Liberty in the United States. And they break it up into four different sections. I'm going to read you a little bit of the preamble, and this is where the stats are, and then I'm going to ask for your thoughts on this. Now, this report originally was released in July of 2014. Now, that's 3 years ago, and it covered a 10-year period, so 2004, 2014. At that time, in 2014, just 3 years ago, religious freedom violations across the United States were already pretty significant. But since that time, the number of these incidents have, of course, increased. There were 90 incidents in that first study, which encompassed the years 2004, 2014, 10 years there. There were 90 incidents. In the last 3 years, 69 new incidents have been added, and at a 70% increase, 76% increase in less than 3 years.
Huh. Well, you remember
clearly it's escalating. Now they put in they talk about another one in the number of sections 3 and 4. They, like I said, they break it down into the attacks on religious expression in the public square, and then they have another section about doing the same thing in schools and universities, and the censure of religious viewpoints concerning sexuality, and using non-discrimination laws as a means to circumvent religious expression. And so you get the idea. But what's happening here is in these four sections, this stuff has increased 76% in 3 years. It took 10 years to get to 90, and we're almost at 70 in 3 years. What's it going to be in another year or 2 years? How many attacks are we going to see in this next 10-year period?
Well, I'll tell you, James, here's the deal. And this is, goes back to what I'm saying. This is something that I'm going to kind of hit on it in kind of a big arc here and start with where you were talking about this. Maddow isn't talking about it. Well, Maddow never will because he's a leftist crazy. Hannity's not talking about it. And he's kind of bound by the Fox News Corporation. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I like Sean Hannity. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I do too.
But at the same time, Hannity doesn't really dig into these discussions. In my opinion, he should. But I don't know if that's a journalist issue and trying to avoid being pigeonholed as being biased towards the Christian faith. But let me just hit on that one point here, and then I'm going to get some of these others, which is there is no time. We have no more time to be wishy-washy about this. We are in the middle of a war. Now, the war doesn't look like most wars. We only can identify the violence of the war when issues like what just happened in Austin happen, and we go, oh, wow, that's horrible. But the war is nonetheless massively violent. It's the information war. It's a propaganda war. It's a war of political action and insurrection. It's a war of legal turning around the laws. It's a legal insurrection. It's a war of economic insurrection. We're fighting back well on certain fronts, like the NFL. We're fighting back fairly well, okay, doing better on the political front, okay? When we deal with legal, it's our president that's helping fight some of that with an installment of conservative federal judges. We hope that continues to work, but we have one major court, which is the Ninth Circuit, which is a complete derailment, in my opinion, for anything constitutional and American Christian value-based. And then we have this war of the media, the propaganda. So, like you just said, we talk about it. I talk about it on my two times a day shows. You talk about it outside on your other shows. We talk about it here. And we're one example of other multiple media outlets that are talking about this. And it is time that we start completely disengaging from mainstream media. There's enough resources out here that people can find good, heartful news. News that ultimately is trying to look at the issues and challenges to faith, challenge us to be knowledgeable and anchor deeper into our core knowledge that drives us every day, and emphasize the values issues that are being crossed, being stomped on, or that we have to be culpable for and what we have to stand for. But this fight right now, there is no culpability that's being talked about, but the culpable ones are the propaganda agents. They are the ones that have set the conditions. They have set the climate. And when you set the conditions, set the climate, you will have action. That is just the way it works. People will become believing in the lie. And
well, you know, it's funny that you should mention this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying that demands of us to be vigilant. So go ahead. That's all I was going to say.
Well, I came across some stuff that Bill Whittle had done on in specific. And, you know, I know we're talking about a broader spectrum of things on the war in on Christianity in general. But this travesty that took place on Sunday, Whittle has some stuff, and I wanted you to hear it. It's about 4 minutes, And we're going to listen to this. It's Bill Whittle, pretty sharp guy, and his take on why these things happen. So tune in here. We're going to set this up, and I'm gonna mute this, and then we're going to come back. Scott, I want to hear what you think about it.
All right, sounds good.
Why there have been more and more mass shootings in the last 20 years? It's pretty simple, really. First, let's talk about motive. The only thing that all of these mass murderers have in common is that none of them expected to survive the shooting. These rampages are suicide by cop, but with one critical difference. As far as the world is concerned, a suicide's just a suicide, but a suicide massacre will make you famous. Well, you get to be somebody, you'll be remembered all right. Now, forensic psychologist Park Dietz is an expert on the kind of psychopath that can do something like Las Vegas or Sutherland Springs. He was asked how to stop mass shootings on the BBC's Newswipe with Charlie Booker.
I have repeatedly told CNN and our other media, if you don't want to propagate more mass murders, don't start the story with sirens blaring. Don't have photographs of the killer. Don't make this 24/7 coverage. Do everything you can not to make the body count the lead story. Do localize this story to the affected community and make it as boring as possible in every other market.
I'm recording this one day after the event, and CNN right now is energetically breaking every single rule that Park Dietz listed as a means to stop these bloodbaths. I mean, when it's all said and done, they kind of need each other, right? The news media provides the fame, and the shooter provides the ratings. Just to be clear, I'm not blaming CNN for the shooting, but the leading expert in the field is essentially blaming CNN for the shooting. Now, I want you to watch this next man very carefully. He's killed more than 200 people, just not all at the same time. Here's Park Dietz again, talking with mafia hitman Richard Kuklitsky, also known as the Iceman.
What did you want him to think as they died?
To see my pretty face. I take it to them. But the last thing they ever saw was me. And if they carry that glimpse to eternity, infinity, or whatever it is, they're going to be thinking of me all that time.
You saw it in the eyes, didn't you? All of these mass shooters had that dead-eyed look. Those eyes don't look human because they're not human beings, not anymore anyway. They're predators, and they don't much care about whether or not they're in a gun-free zone. They're not going to be stopped by banning pistol grips and changing the apple emoji from a revolver to a squirt gun. Doesn't seem to have much effect on them at all. They're insane, and they want to kill as many people as they can. Now, that's the cold reality. That's what we're really dealing with. And right this second, we're making more of them, right now. Second, about the police. I have the highest regard for law enforcement, but decades of police dramas have given us the idea that the police can somehow prevent a murder from happening. You know, they break down the door at the last second and shoot the gun out of the murderer's hand. But in the real world, the first thing the homicide unit does is come and take pictures of someone's dead body. And if you've not seen actual uncensored crime scene photos of actual murders, then you have no idea what a murder really is. Now, some of us think we should have at least a chance to save our own lives and those of the people we love. Other people think we have an obligation to become a chalk outline on the sidewalk in order for them to sound good at cocktail parties. In Sutherland Springs, a good man with a gun ran towards the bad man with a gun. The instant the murderer got shot at was the instant the killing stopped. You see, he hadn't finished yet. It's an old saw, but it's true. When seconds count, the police are only minutes away. A third, the idea that the easy availability of guns caused these events is just self-evidently not true, because when I was a boy, guns were everywhere. We played with cap guns and Daisy BB rifles. You could buy a gun at any department store in the country without any background checks or cooling off periods. Before Columbine, which is to say, before 24-hour news coverage, guns were everywhere. But mass shootings? What's a mass shooting? Some people blame the gun because some people are psychologically unwilling or unable to defend themselves. So consciously or not, they want to make sure that everyone is unable to defend themselves as well. Which brings us to our main lesson, which is simply this. The world does not owe us a life of perfect safety, no matter how badly we want it to. These massacres will go on because these people can't stop themselves. I don't mean just the murderers. I mean the news people, too.
Okay, what do you think?
Well, I think he's on it. I mean, I don't disagree with what he's saying. I'm not at all being critical. I think he points out some great issues. I think it's more. Whittle is looking very much at the more of a cause and effect level, and I would even call an operational level. Okay.
Okay.
What I'm saying that is, he's like, you know, shooters need media, media needs shooters, and I agree with that. The bigger question we have to look at is, what is creating the environment that's even allowing that to happen, right? I hear what they're saying is like, don't advertise the shooter, don't do this, this will stop them. I actually disagree with that. And I disagree with it because the environment that we are in, which is incessantly pushing this point of making it okay to hate Christianity, to hate Christians, to hate the faith of anybody's faith, for that matter, unless you're Muslim, that environment is creating a hostility with a whole range of people. When we take a whole range of people, we know there's crazy people out there. And then you take that secondary step, which is there's, to Whittle's point a bit, they know that there's no consequences, meaning there's no accountability. And they're never, even if they do the shooting, they're not even going to be blamed. They're going to be elevated to a hero. So this is where he and I agree, because a hero in a loose sense. You aren't looking, you don't hear them talk about him as, in the media, for example, as a shooter. He's now a mentally deranged shooter. So we're supposed to, because of the propaganda framework that we're in, we're supposed to have empathy for the fact that he's not all human. I would simply add that anybody that does that action is not, has lost a huge chunk of their humanity. So that discussion goes out the window. When you start talking about someone who is a mental patient, yet he seemed to be fine enough to deal with Facebook not being, he wasn't discharged from the Air Force, okay? He was reprimanded, we know now.
Right.
And look at this individual. They painted him into being this sort of victim. You know, it's like the poor kid had a mental case, the poor kid, blah, blah, blah. He becomes an instrument of the propaganda itself, because when he goes out and does this, they're not screaming like, hey, this kid is wicked. He deserved what he got. What media organization has said he deserved what he got? What media organization has said?
Outside of the American Brand Radio Initiative, I'm unaware of anyone.
And the American Brand in general, I agree. I mean, we're talking around all these cause and effect. The fact is, it happened, right? It happened. And it's whether – so the motives of happening are the environment in which we live. And it's going to happen to a certain degree anyway, because there's just crazy people out there.
Right.
But on the other hand, we're creating a soup out here of information. It's really like a chemical soup, like a DNA soup, if you want to look at it like this. Almost primordial in that sense, you know, where you've got – all this stuff bubbling around in the pond, supposedly, and they're like, oh, guess what? A fish got legs and walked out of the water. I mean, that's kind of the DNA concept of DNA soup, right?
Right.
You don't know what you're going to get. Well, they kind of do know that there's going to – you don't know exactly what action. So for this is the conspiracy is – the conspiracy theorist version would be they're programming somebody. He was given information like in an MK Ultra idea, go attack a church. He picked the target, used his target of opportunity, and he engaged. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're living under an umbrella of propaganda. And that propaganda is telling you all the time, all the time, all the time, Christians are bad. Christian, we hate Christians. We hate this. We hate that. And you are creating a justification for actions. And when you finally get frustrated because you're pissed off at society anyway, you detach from reality. You decide you're going to get angry, because part of this media issue right now is dialing up so much anger, and it's frothing that anger, and it's fueling that anger on the left. It's doing it with this fake garbage about the Russian dossier. It's doing it with this fake garbage about how Hillary supposedly won the election by popular vote. Who cares, even though they're all illegals? They're doing it by talking about all of the crazy stupid lies that President Trump is supposed to be doing. They're talking about how we're losing. None of this is substantive. But we have. This has been a growing narrative, and it just continues to grow and continues to foment all of this idea that our country is horrible. It's because it's a capitalist society. It's a horrible society. We need to burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. And by the way, while you're burning it down, let's keep in mind something else. Burn down the Christians with it. And so, you, like I said earlier, you have the other side, which is if Christians dare raise their head, they're getting, it's like a whack-a-mole project. I mean, it's like, well, don't you dare, because the Christian faith says that you need to turn your cheek and be still. And to be honest with you, there is some effective programming that's going on there at a certain level, and that message is also in our mainstream propaganda media. So it isn't, society's being shaped by information. And it is so massive and it's so persistent that people are responding to it, and we are, and unless you're aware of it, you are being coded by it.
Well, you know, I'd like to point out that Jesus also said, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one.
I'm with you, James. No one said to stand there and complete. Now, I'm going to be clear about this, because this is another thing I have a big issue with. Reaction, and I talked about this last night, and I talked about it some today. Reaction doesn't mean that everybody going to church suddenly arms themselves to the teeth and it's like, we're going. That's not how this works. Vigilance begins with awareness. Vigilance begins with establishing, for example, security protocols outside the church with ushers that are capable of and willing to stop somebody and question them, and if necessary, quickly and immediately remove them from the situation. All right? It doesn't mean that every single person sitting in a pew suddenly needs to be packing, because that in itself can, and I'm not saying people shouldn't have the right, that's a church bylaw issue, at least in Georgia. But if every church out there is taking these vigilant measures to develop awareness, create a state of mind that you're at war. You no longer get to sit here and go, okay, well, it's fine. I'll just, you know, I just pray that this won't happen. No, guess what? It is happening. So how about this? Like I said earlier, let's pray. If you're going to pray about it, then pray what you need to be doing different, because it ain't working what's going on. So this is where there needs to be an attitude shift within many of the denominations and churches across the country to be able to focus on the fact that security is an essential issue now. It is maybe a country of freedom of a religion, but the principal issue is that Christianity has been targeted, by years and years and years of propaganda and programming, and you have a generation of people out here, and quite a number of them in the blue cities, that despise Christianity. They think people are dumb and stupid. They think that they're backwards, and they think that they deserve to be eradicated and to go away. So when you have that looking at you and you say, well, you know, I'm just gonna pray and hope that it all goes away, it ends up going away. So what he was saying on his show, when I get a lot of it, but the bigger context of all this is we are living under a barrage of information, which is reinforcing a narrative that Christians need to be persecuted. And as that state, as a state of mind develops, when you've got crazy people are going to do crazy things, or desperate people will do desperate things. That's another one. And they will pick the opportunity target that they feel will be the one that they will be able to succeed in and hopefully carry a message or get some martyrdom. And that's what he was saying. But it's the environment. It's the only thing I add to it is it's the environment that we live in. Which means we have no excuse, whatsoever, to be complacent. Because we are at war. You know, it's literally like, you know, we've got, I don't want to pitch this now, but we've got some new stuff coming out on our store this week, and like one of our shirts is Wage War, Faith, Knowledge, Values. We have to get that in our head. It is a critical message that we are in the midst of. It is no longer sitting here and going, okay, well, I wonder, is it really a war? No, we're at war, so wage it. Let's go back to the other
question.
Turn on the effect. right? And it's despicable that it's happening. Churches are being targeted, and the increased numbers, like you pointed out, are happening. And it's not because it's a soft target. It's not because, well, to some degree, but it's, you know, like, well, why is the church's violence going up? Because the environment is encouraging it. Because the entire noise within the media. So part of that fight back is people have to stop. We have to develop stronger and stronger followings within alternative media. We have to do that. People have to start thinking at the same time about being vigilant about things, being aware. You can't just sit on the sidelines. And it's just the way it's going to be.
And folks, you're not listening to a couple of religious fanatics, okay? We're just like everybody else who are people of faith. We're flawed, and we're messed up, and we understand that, and we know that it is only through that faith that we stand a chance at being better people and moving ourselves to the next level. So this is not fanaticism. This is the cement. What these attacks are chipping away at the cement, at the adhesive of a big part of our society, and that's our faith, our Judeo-Christian values, those tenets that this country was founded on. And we just can't let it give way. We can't let them continually chip away at this without falling from our foundation. So we have to stop it. And vigilance is one of the ways you do it. And the reality is, yeah, we've got to do, you know, there has to be a discussion about physical security for churches. I can't believe that we live in a day and age where that's come about. But the truth of the matter is, as we saw last Sunday, yeah. And you're right. It is this influx of information, this cascade of isolating and demonizing Christians and Christianity that's led to this, that encourages these ghouls, these wing nuts who just need a little bit of direction, and there they go.
That's it, man.
And we can't, and you're right, again, you know, like I say, you're right. We can't. There is this, and the thing that I was that resonated the most with me with what Whittle was saying and all that was that sycophancy, that symbiotic kind of relationship that goes on with these people that do this and the media that reports it. And CNN is one of the greatest, and Fox, none of them are excused from it, because everybody says 28 people and dozens other injured today in a church shooting, and then they go all through it, and that's how they do it. The death toll still climbs in the church shootings, and so it's like, hey, I think I can beat that score. That's the high score for this. I got to go better. And you're right. Some other wing nut feeds on what he sees with this. Some other miscreant who becomes disgruntled with his life and the decisions that he's made and decides, you know what? By God, they're going to pay. They're all going to pay. And then that's what they do.
It's true, man. It's true. So, I mean, this is something that just says, I mean, you said it here. I mean, we're talking, you know, part of what you just said a minute ago really gets under my skin. And I'm just, not because of what you said, it's because of how what you said is typically received, to be clear. What I'm getting at is this. You notice how you had to make a statement that said we're not religious fanatics?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said it. Because simply because we're using the idea that Christians are under siege, because this is faith, because we talk about the concept of God, suddenly, even though, just listen to yourself a minute. This is not a criticism, James, but this is what I'm talking about in the effect of the propaganda environment. You were compelled to have to explain away the fact that you're committed as a person of faith talking about something that's obvious and it's an attack on Christianity. This is how deep this programming goes. We have been put on our heels. We've been told to be quiet and sit in the corner. We're told that when you stand up and speak, you better justify what you're doing, because otherwise you're a heretic. Get out of here. And that is the whole, that's such a good example. I'm so glad you did it. And it's, again, it's not a criticism. It's just an unbelievable point, because you and I talk about this stuff all the time and here, and I find myself doing it too. And I'm not stepping aside from the impact of programming, but there it is, right there, right before it. To step
far
back
out.
And have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it never occurred to me, but yeah, you're right. And my thinking was, you know, I just want to qualify this, because people who know me probably would think, dude, you are the last person on earth to be talking about Christianity and religion. But yeah, you're right. I understand completely what you're saying. And I did qualify it, didn't I?
Right. And again, this is not a criticism to you. It is the impact of deep cultural programming, which comes about by incessant, and I mean
wow,
incessant messaging that is telling you, be guilty for being a Christian. Be quiet for being a Christian. Stand in the corner if you're a Christian. Shut the hell up if you're a Christian. Don't speak. Feel guilty. Don't react. Stay passively in your pew. I'm not kidding, man.
No, you're right.
When you're going to talk
about, you're right.
When you're going to talk about Christianity, you better not bring it out in public square. But it's okay if Antifa comes out in public square and beats the heck out of some woman or burns a building down. Media covers that. It doesn't seem as mum. That's all the layers of propaganda we're talking about. And this is cultural programming, justifying violence, justifying atheism, justifying the concept of a country ruled by a state not overseen by God. This is all there, over and over and over and over. And the result of this, when it comes out, is we create these environments where you're on your heels. And then something like this happens, and you go, oh, man, what are we going to do? This is horrible. We're under siege. God, tell me, why is this happening? No. No, no, no. It's like this. We're under siege. Forget this. We're taking action to make sure our churches are safe and secure. God, tell us, guide us in this proper way of how to do this so that we can balance our faith and our commitments of temperance while being vigilant. We are not going to be besieged. That's the response. But it's been programmed out of people.
Heavy stuff tonight on the American Brand Radio Initiative. And it's heavy for a reason. It's because it's real. We've been discussing the attacks on religious expression, Christians and Christianity in particular, throughout the public forum, throughout schools and universities, even trying to censure and suppress Christian morality in certain issues. And it's no one is safe. Small businesses aren't safe. Nonprofit organizations aren't safe. Religious schools aren't safe. Public servants, employees, students, churches, none of it is safe anymore. It all falls under these targets that the hard left, the Marxist types, are looking to isolate and to demonize and marginalize and place on the fringe. And we can't let it happen. We simply cannot let it happen. Scott's absolutely right. We are under siege. And we're under siege in a lot of areas. Spiritually, yeah, we're under siege. We're under siege in the levels of our government with corrupt and anti-American forces. And that ain't no exaggeration. They're on both sides of the aisle. But there are things that we can be encouraged on. And, you know, we take these things that, like Scott and I are talking about right now, and we want to get this awareness to you. Because who was it that said the price of peace is constant vigilance? Scott, was that Barry Goldwater?
It may have been. I don't know who did the quote, but it's an absolute true statement.
Yeah, the price of peace is constant. Yeah, it's. I'm pretty sure it was Goldwater, but that the price of peace is constant vigilance. We have, and not just with this, in our political leaders, in defense of our religious ideologies, in defense of this country's religious heritage, which is unquestionably and overwhelmingly Judeo-Christian, in our laws, in our society. So these efforts to destroy it, to dismantle it, have to be curtailed. And we've got to do it without flinching. This is not where we turn the other cheek. Because if you remember, Jesus raised up a bunch of sand in the temple when he drove the money lenders and those miscreants out. So we're not turning the cheek on this anymore. We can't.
No, and to be clear, I mean, the point of turning the cheek does not mean it's suddenly like you're walking in with baseball bats and whomping on people. We talk about vigilance. And, you know, what I was talking about last night and I talked about again today, it's this balance between, and it's a state of mind. Let me just put it like this. Knowledge is a center point of all things we have to work from. If you don't have knowledge, if you don't have knowledge of the Bible, then you're not really understanding the values that are based and driving us that are anchored in faith. We don't have knowledge and aren't studying the Constitution and understanding that the Bible is the foundation of the Constitution. We don't really understand how laws are being executed or should be executed. And you're missing a lot of the ability to look across the plain and see how that siege warfare is happening against the Constitution and why. The Constitution is under siege not because of the Second Amendment, First Amendment. Those are elements within it. Our Constitution is ultimately under siege because the left fears one principal issue rooted in the Constitution. And what is that? That's faith. You strip away faith, you take control of people, because the control of people then is rooted within the structure of man, not the fear of God. So when we talk about not turning the other cheek, we talk about, first of all, re-anchoring ourselves in faith, making sure we are clear within our faith, clear within ourselves, within our hearts. It means we are doubling down on our knowledge. Not only the Bible, but we're reading the things that went around into our Constitution. We're reading beyond the news, because the news is nothing more than a propaganda machine. And it means we're doubling down on our values. Now, within all of that, there is ability to react and react well, but it doesn't mean to sit there and look at somebody like they're coming at you with, as an example, and I'm not accusing anybody having done this, but I'm using this as a simple example, to sit there and have somebody come at you with a gun and go, you know, I'm praying, boom, you get shot in the head. I mean, I'm not going to be very, I'm going to be almost sacrilegious here, but I'm telling you, I would expect God to look at you when you got up there and go, were you really that stupid to stand before a gun and expect that when they pulled the trigger that and you didn't move that it was the bullet wasn't going to hit you? That's the point we have to get past. And the problem is that if you look at that image right there, that image of the Christian person sitting there praying as someone comes up and shoots them, where does that image get reinforced all the time? In Hollywood films all the time. It's a deep programming to tell you in your subconscious that when someone comes at you, whether however violent it is, just anchor in your faith and God will save you. God helps those that help themselves. And that means as communities within churches, we have to become proactive. We have to become vigilant. We have to become smart. And we have to accept a simple fact. Christianity is under siege, and it is targeted by the left because the left fears one principal thing in this country. It fears faith. Because with faith, you can overcome anything. But when you strip away and break that core of faith, you rip that away from people, what are they left doing? They're left turning to the state and saying, help me, put me on a welfare check. Do something, but help me because I'm now powerless. When you have faith, you can look at the obstacles as great as mountains and you can say to yourself, I can overcome and I shall. And that's why faith is such a fear for the left. And it's why we as a community across this country that anchor ourselves in, especially in Christian faith. And I am not discounting other faiths, but our country is built on the foundations of the Christian faith. It is time. Put away this nonsense that, well, it won't happen here. It is time to embrace the two principal tenets, which is temperance, yes, but vigilance, absolutely.
Scott Kesterson, ladies and gentlemen, here we are with the American Brand Radio Initiative. And the topic, as it has been for the entire show, is the left and the media and the propaganda attacks on Christians and Christianity here in this country. It's been going on for a long time. As I told you, I shared some of that information with you in terms of the statistics in the number of attacks and types of attacks. It's increased 76% over what it was for 10 years. So this is a serious thing, and it's being encouraged in the media. It's being encouraged in magazines and newspapers, on your telecable networks and programming, which incidentally, you guys, turn it off. A lot of people are doing that, and you need to do some research on that. People are turning off their cable. They're turning off CNN. We've talked about this before, and I'm going to keep reminding you of it. Less than a million people are tuned into CNN at any time during the day. How many people in America, Scott?
300, I think it's about 340 million right now, James.
Okay, a lot more than a million CNN watchers, right? Yeah, that's the point. Now think about that. You see CNN, they get Darth Vader to do the thing for them, and they've done all this stuff, and it's a brand, and it's huge, and it's, no, it's not. It's smoke and mirrors. It's illusion. Less than a million people at any given time are tuning into CNN. Overall, their averages. That's it. It's probably no different than MSNBC. Fox might have a few more, but not a whole lot. When you see these numbers, you know, the Sean Hannity beat Rachel Maddow by a million viewers. Well, they're talking about 3.5 million to 2 million. That's nothing in this country. That's a very small percentage, and you don't have to watch them. You don't have to watch those guys. Scott has told you, and as we have tried our very humble best to get you information that we think is going to resonate with you, you can see right here. None of those guys that we've talked about are talking about what me and Scott have talked about tonight. And we know further that these, as people of faith, these are issues that you need to be made aware of, and these are issues that resonate with you and not a couple of, you know, middle-aged recidivist sinners like me and Scott. This is for all of us. This is a collective, I hate to use that word, a congregational thing, okay? This is an issue that we're going to have to congregate around, and we're going to have to make ourselves aware of it, and we're going to have to do what we can to affect changes in other places to help other people of faith, other Christians, be aware of these things. I guess we're preaching, aren't we, man?
Well, you know, I don't
in a way.
Well, we are, but we're communicating. And the reason I'm saying that is I like to preserve those words to the man that stands at the pulpit or woman, okay? And I think that's fair because we're really not. We have our faith. We're speaking from our heart. And hopefully tonight we're being blessed with the messages that people can hear and it will resonate with those. But we're not preaching. That's not our work.
Okay, we're testifying then. We're testifying.
I think that's fair. But, you know, in the concept of disciples, we are spreading a message that I think is solid. You know, and I think that's the principal piece because we see this. It's important for people to hear this, and it's important for people to be strong in these times. Now, I said all week, this is a time to really give prayer and support for those families that have lost. But at the same time, this isn't time to bury your head in the sand. This is time to stand up and be proud. This is time to step forward, not step back. And that takes a lot of different forms. As I said, I'm not advocating everybody walks in church suddenly with an AR-15. That's not what we're saying. Okay? We're talking about a vigilance of both in community engagement pushing back on these ridiculous narratives. And at the same time, we're talking about even local to the church, developing security protocols and awareness across everybody that's realistic with the threat that we're facing. We are facing a demon, a threat that is unbelievable, that wants to see Christianity eradicated. And it's going now for the small parishes and churches across the country. And that is when that should wake everybody, right? Here's, we got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
How do you want to roll?
Well, I'm just going to turn you loose, man. You've been hitting on all 8 cylinders tonight. So I know you've got you have something coming up at 9 tonight, right?
Yeah, I've got our show tonight on YouTube is at 9 o'clock Eastern at YouTube Live. We had a great show today on Facebook. Man, I'm telling you, a great crowd on there. And we've had good shows all week on these topics. I'm going to continue to push, and I really appreciate everybody coming out. Tonight, my theme is tonight I'm going to sound like a Puritan. And I'm really going to dig in hard. In this midst of this challenge, kind of, I'm going to close the whole series of shows out today because, you know, I've been doing a couple this morning. I do this one. I do the night show. I'm really going to hammer it home on the idea that the issues of values and our willingness to use alcohol and drugs as a way to escape. And we've got to step back and embrace our faith and say no more, because we don't have time to play. We now have to be clear-headed, clear-minded, like soldiers going into battle. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So, you know, James, we have a great show every week. This tonight was, I think, an impassioned show, and I hope people will spread it around. And it's near and dear to both of our hearts. And it's a lot of thinking that people have to start giving to this. This is a very challenging time. And with a president that is openly pro-Christian faith, a media that's openly hateful for anything pro-Christian faith, the tensions are rising, the threats are rising, and it is the component of vigilance within our churches is more important than ever. It just has to be. So,
and I'm sure this is not the only time we're going to be talking about this, people. This is just, we have an umbrella of issues. We have a large net of issues that we like to hit, and they need to be reinforced. And this is one that I know we'll be coming back to on more than one occasion. And it's not going to be just every time some tragedy like this happens, because we're going to reinforce it to keep this from happening.
Well, and that's just it. So hey, I'm going to close out here. I'm going to take a minute or so to do, and if we've got time, James, I'll just hand it right back to you. But the bottom line is this, and this is what I say on every one of my shows. Spend time with your family. Reach out to your neighbor and build community. And most of all, re-anchor yourself in faith. That's a daily, daily issue that we have to. It is more important than ever. And you know, we just can never, never forget what our founding fathers bestowed upon us to protect and defend every single day, and that's the Constitution. And that begins with local action. So for my part of this, God bless and have a great evening. And James, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott Kesterson. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks once again for being with us. Terrific time, just like it always is. We will be back on Thursday with a whole new set of challenging issues to discuss and hopefully some remedial solutions to help support Donald Trump and the people that are working to correct, to do the course correct necessary to right this ship of state. We've had a terrific time tonight. I want to thank everyone for being with us. We'll have this thing archived shortly, and as soon as it is, we'll get it transferred over to the American Bram Radio Initiative, and we'll post it in the usual locations throughout Facebook. Hit it, share the link amongst your folks. Spread the word, okay? We appreciate that much more than, you know, Scott's coming up on YouTube tonight at 9. You won't want to miss it, and so you can catch up with more of that there. For the American Brand Radio Initiative and my friend Scott Kesterson, this is James Bostic saying, see you Thursday. You guys take good care. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America.